Boy, is it good to see everybody. I am so tired of looking at a camera. Not that I don't love you people, but man, it's nice to actually see faces looking back. So glad you're here, and we're just praising the Lord for this opportunity to come together and to worship the Lord. So a little housekeeping. Obviously, this is all new, and we're going to be working out a few kinks, so bear with us. I'm thankful that it's a beautiful day. And we're just, again, so grateful for you guys. So bathrooms, I know that's so important, right? There's a bathroom through those doors at the end of the hall. And if you go through this door and then through the next door, there's a bathroom right at the corner of this house as well. I would encourage and remind everyone that if you go in that bathroom, there are two doors that need to be locked, okay? How many doors need to be locked? Two doors. Lock all three doors. Otherwise, you might have a little surprise. So right through there, there's a bathroom there, single bathroom there. Not a lot of bathrooms on the property. Also want to update everybody. Hopefully in the next couple weeks, they're going to start construction on the house. So keep that in prayer. We're excited for them to get started. They know we're meeting here. They know that we're using the garage here as a meeting space. And so, but let's just keep that in prayer and that the Lord's will be done and the Lord's process get done. You know, they're saying 8 to 10 months, which if anybody's ever built anything, and Mitch's company is actually going to be doing the remodel. So I don't want to say anything bad, but yes, let's thank Mitch and Mighty Oaks. But I've done construction enough to know that timelines never really happen. So if it happens sooner than that, it's going to be by the grace of God, right? But we're looking at about a year from now. So we're going to let this work for a year because we felt it very important that we started getting together again. And I got to tell you, you know, I don't want to, you know, say your pastor doesn't have a lot of faith, but there was some time there I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? We talked about putting tents up. We talked about finding a new place. And we really do feel like the Lord just led us to you know, be here. We want to be on this property. And a tent seemed really too temporary. And you know what? If the Lord blesses us and the church grows a little bit, we're going to do multiple services. So we just want you guys to be in prayer. And we want you guys to just roll with the process. But at least we're able to be together, and it's good to see you. Now, pandemic stuff. You know, we have masks if you want to wear masks. Anybody wants to hug me, I am a hugger. All right, anybody can hug me. You don't have to ask me if I will give you a hug. And so, but we understand we have to be wise. So don't feel like if you don't want to hug, that's fine. We want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable because we want the Word of God to be taught. Amen. And you know, I know probably for some of us in this room, maybe those that are still at home in their pajamas, it was kind of nice for a little while. But, you know, it got to be enough. So that's why we wanted to get together. We feel it's so, so important to be meeting together. So welcome back. I hope everybody had a chance to get a bulletin. If not, just want to kind of remind some of the things that are happening. We're doing our Wednesday night Bible study here as well. So if you want to participate, we do our Bible study on Wednesday nights. We're going through the book of James on Wednesday nights. Been an amazing time to get together. We also do that over Zoom. So if you just, again, you can't make it on a Wednesday night, but you still want to tune in, you can get in on Zoom. I want to remind all the guys about our men's breakfast, and we're now doing them here as well. So the next one will be Saturday, October 3rd at 8 o'clock. And that's it in all the things that I just want to bring to your attention. But let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. You know, I'm only going to look at one verse this morning. I mean, obviously, this is exciting. You know, we're finally back together and we'll be able to meet again. So to me, this is a new beginning for our church. And it's a celebration service for the faithfulness of God. I don't know if you realize it or not, but today is literally the sixth month that we started streaming. And when we first started this, honestly, a month, I thought there's no way it's going to go more than a month. And then after it went longer, no way is it going to go longer than 2 months. To actually see that it's gone 6 months is amazing to me. And as I looked back at that first message that I did virtually only, it was on faithfulness. And I just want to say, God has been faithful. God has been faithful to this church. The timing of this property is showing God's faithfulness. The ability for us to be able to stream from the studio for these 6 months is showing God's faithfulness. We could have certainly done it at the Martin Center, but boy, that would have been a challenge. Here, we were able to do things we would never have been able to do over there. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, right? Let's thank the Lord and give him praise for his faithfulness and hopefully our faithfulness to him, right? And so that is just so important. Again, as I said, new beginning. Also, as I look at this one verse, we're going to be looking in verse chapter 23 and verse 11 again. We ended last week on that verse, but that's just such a powerful verse. And I'm going to look at it again this morning and remind us of the power of testimony. The power of testimony. And when I say that word testimony, maybe someone's like, well, I don't really have that great of a testimony. Listen, everybody's story is important. Everybody's testimony of even the last 6 months is important. And so at the end of this service, I'm going to kind of open it up. If anybody wants to come up and share a testimony, maybe something God showed you during this pandemic. I've said it throughout the entire time. I was busier during the pandemic than I was outside of the pandemic. Maybe some of you agree. I mean, some people are like, oh, I'm bored. I'm like, wow, I'm not bored at all. You know, we were able to do so much more during the pandemic on this property and that thing. So we, again, see God's favor. But before we get started, we're also going to be in Joshua chapter 1. So if you want to bookmark your Bibles, again, Acts chapter 23, and then we're going to flip over to Joshua 1 and take a look at that area of scripture as well. But before we get into the word, would you pray with me one more time? Ask God to bless this time. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for each of us, that we might live and live in victory. And Lord, these have been very crazy times. We have trying to figure these things out. And to this day, there's still so much miscommunication that has been given to us and so many different reports on either side of this issue. But Lord, we trust that you're in control. We trust that you are seated upon the throne and that you are orchestrating the events in our lives, in our church, in our town, in this state, and even in this country and world. And so, God, we just want to acknowledge you as our Savior. We want to acknowledge you as our Master. And we put our complete and total trust in you. Bless this time, God, as we've now worshiped you, as we've now have lifted our voices to you. We pray, God, that you would speak into our hearts as your word comes alive and comes off these pages and finds themselves deeply rooted in all of our hearts. Thank you for allowing us to be together, God. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, we're in a new beginning. And, you know, maybe you've experienced that over these last 6 months, new beginnings. Maybe everything was a new beginning of watching church, a new beginning of doing work from home, a new beginning of just doing all kinds of things differently, even being able to get together with families. How many of us have seen pictures of people getting together in their backyard, social distancing, you know, drinking coffee in lawn chairs, just to be around someone, right? We've been learning to do things differently. But yet God never changes, right? Do we believe that? God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today. He'll be the same forever. And this did not, as I've said over the weeks, this is not catching God off guard. He knew this was coming. And I believe he was preparing us. Anytime we enter into a new season in our lives, we need to trust that God is with us. And that's what I see in Acts chapter 23 in this verse 11, as we see God reminding the apostle Paul that I'm with you, Paul. Do you believe God is with you? Maybe you're going through a difficult season in your life. Maybe you're, you know, maybe that's finances that are stressed. It's just amazing to me what we've all experienced over these 6 months with businesses closing, you know, with you know, people that are hurting and fearful, afraid to be around other people. You know, as I go out and about, and maybe you've experienced it too, I mean, there's different people you come in contact with. It's just a strange thing to be walking down an aisle at a grocery store and see someone avoid you. It's like, wow. But it's the truth. That's what we're experiencing. Well, in the body of Christ, we don't want to avoid anybody, do we? I believe more than ever now is the time for us as a church, for us as believers, to encourage people and to be encouraged. And that's what I see in this verse 11 is encouragement. I see God encouraging the Apostle Paul. And we need to be encouraged during these times. Isn't that what we all need? To just have someone on our side, to have someone to encourage us to trust in the Lord. That's what I've loved about this time, is people just putting their faith and their trust in the Lord, putting their confidence in Him, because these are really crazy times. You know, as we start out here meeting as a church, and as I've said, it's a new beginning. I believe it's a new beginning for ministry. I believe it's a new beginning for our church. You know, many people say, oh, I can't wait for church to get back to normal. I honestly want to say, I don't want it to get back to what the old normal was. I want the new normal. I want the new excitement of being a believer and being a child of God and to be able to encourage other people. And you cannot encourage someone else unless you're encouraged, can you? If you're not encouraged, that spreads, right? I mean, stand around anybody that's bummed out. Stand around anybody who's sad or complaining, and man, all of a sudden you just feel like all the energy runs out of it. But when you're around someone who's encouraging, man, that just motivates you. And that's what we need to be as believers, is encouraging people. Because I believe now that God has planted us here, as my wife has been calling this, the living room. I love that. That we're going to meet together with the Lord in the living room. That this living room is open. And I love the fact that we can open doors. You know, we've got new doors coming, all glass. We want people to come. We want people to see what we're doing. We don't want to hide in our church. We don't want to hide in our faith. We want people to know. I pray that at some point we get to a place where the worship is so amazing here that it affects every neighbor around this place. And maybe you've noticed. Blake was singing in a microphone. I'm wearing a microphone, but there's no speakers in here. It's different, isn't it? We don't need amplification. Anybody here not be able to hear me? No. But we want the community to hear. We want God's presence to be here. And then we want Him to send us out and send us into this world. Listen, I want you to be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged that God is with you and God is guiding you. Look with me again. We're going to read it. I know we read it last week, but in verse 11 of chapter 23, it says this: "But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" This is the Lord Jesus Christ standing with the Apostle Paul. And as I see this first section where it says that the Lord was standing with Paul and that he says to be of good cheer, that's a present condition. Jesus said to Paul, "I know you're discouraged, Paul. I know you're feeling defeated, Paul." You got to understand, the last two chapters we've been reading, Paul has come up against nothing but opposition. Paul's messages constantly came and started riots. I mean, that's not a successful ministry. If every time I preached the word, y'all just started fighting against me, that would be pretty depressing. But for God to come alongside Paul and say, "Paul, I'm with you. I'm standing here right with you. Be encouraged." That word to be of good cheer literally means be encouraged. Another one says to take courage. In a sense, in another translation, it says this: "It's going to be all right, Paul. Everything is going to turn out for the best." I love that. Everything's going to turn out for the best. We know that verse, right? God works all things out for good. Everything that we're going through, God's going to work out for good. Everything that you're experiencing in your life, God is going to be working out for good. So be encouraged during this time, not discouraged. Do you know that the Lord is always with you? Right? You carry Him around. For those of you that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have God with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But why is it from time to time we feel all alone? Why do we feel like, "Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on in my life? Why am I not seeing you work?" See, I believe God's always at work, even when we don't see it. I think God's always at work behind the scenes in our lives. I believe that Jesus Christ could say that to every single one of us in this room. Be of good cheer. I am standing right next to you. I am right here with you. Which, for someone that maybe has lost their business through a pandemic, they probably feel like the Lord let them down. They probably feel like the Lord abandoned them. You know, as we drive around and see businesses closing, businesses that have been here for so many years are now shutting down. Restaurants. How difficult is that? For them to trust that God was there. I mean, I believe sometimes God closes one door in order to open up another opportunity. And that's what we really have to believe. These are different times, but we have to trust that God is going to be working behind the scenes and dealing with these things. Matthew 28, verse 20, when Jesus gives the Great Commission in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As Jesus spoke this to his disciples, go out and preach the gospel, and I'm going to be with you, even to the end of the age. What age is he talking about? It's talking about the age of grace, the age that we're living in right now. I believe this promise is for all of us. I am with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is going to be with us until he takes us home. Till that day we get raptured, that we're actually in his presence. He's with us. How encouraging is that? And that is something we need to remind each other, that God's with us. I know sometimes when we tell someone that God is with you, they think, yeah. That's just a Christian thing to say. But it's a reality that he's with you. And so sometimes we just need to be reminded that God is with us. God is here. God is with you in your workplace. God is with you in your homes. At the end of the age, he is going to be with you and he's going to be with me. Let's let the Lord use us. Let's let the Lord minister through us. See, I can't reach the people that you come in contact with. I can't reach your coworkers necessarily unless you invite them. I can't be with your neighbors. I can't minister. You know, the staff here at Calvary Chapel can't do all that, but you can. It's our job to equip you so that you can go out and encourage others. And that's what God was doing for the Apostle Paul, because there's, in my mind, there's two sides to this coin. Either the Apostle Paul was super defeated because of everything that was going wrong in Jerusalem and before the Sanhedrin and all the things that were happening to him, and ministry wasn't happening. So either he was discouraged and God was saying, I'm with you, Paul, or Paul was like, I know you're with me, Lord. Isn't that a much better position to be in, is to know that God is with you, to not doubt? How many of us in this room actually experience doubt? How many of us from time to time go, I don't know if the Lord's in this. I don't know if this is going the way it should. See, we can't doubt the Lord. We got to trust that God is there, even when we don't sense it, even when we don't know it. Be of good cheer, as I've said. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that encouragement. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that God is in control. Because we can't rely on anyone except the Lord. Right? Listen, I hope people are in your life. I hope there's Spirit-filled Christians in your life that are encouraging you in your walk. And one thing that just always gets me is when we speak negative and negative. Well, it's just not happening for me. Well, it's just not going to work out that way. Well, I'm just in a bad position. No. Be encouraging. Be encouraging. Flip over to Joshua chapter 1, as I said. Joshua chapter 1. This was a verse that God used in my life and spoke to my life many, many years ago. And it's just such an encouragement. As Moses has now passed away, Joshua has kind of taken over. Joshua chapter 1, and starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. This is the verse that really spoke to me. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Just that verse, wherever you place your feet, I will give to you. God spoke that to me as believers who carry the Lord Jesus in our hearts, who carry the Holy Spirit. Wherever we place our feet, God will give us. We don't have to worry. You know, people will say, well, God's moving me to a different area, or God moved me in this area. It's like, wherever you're planted, God will use you. Wherever God has you, think about it. Wherever you place your feet, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your workplace, or whether you're in the shopping, you know, the grocery store, wherever you are, God could use you. Watch for those opportunities. That's what I've been talking about for the last 6 months, is the opportunities that God will give us. I believe this next season of the world we're living in, God's going to increase those opportunities, because there's going to continue to be people that are hurting. And we need to be those people that are ready to encourage them. We need to be those people that are ready to come alongside them and say, God is in control. Think about it. And we're going to get back to Joshua in a minute. But think about it. Once we get back into heaven, do you think any of this stuff we're worrying about is going to even be on our radar? None of it. None of it. Whatever you worried about a year ago, you're not worrying about right now, are you? Some of you are probably going, well, kind of, yeah. But there's always something new to worry about. Let's not worry. Let's trust that wherever God places our feet, he will use you. Wherever he takes you. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That sounds familiar. Look at this verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Sounds like what he just said to Paul. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. 3 different times, as God is speaking to Joshua, he says, be of good courage. Do not be afraid. What does it mean when God says something to you 3 times? Right? You should listen to it. Ultimately, if he says it to you once, we should listen to it. He is the Lord, right? But God is gracious, and he reminds us. Another thing we see here is stay in the word of God, right? Again, but the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The words of God should come out of our mouths. If we're going to encourage each other, it's going to be encouraging it with the word of God, with the truth. Not with our own ideas, not with man's wisdom, but with the word of God. Right? That you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to it. Recently, there's been people in my friends in my life that have really been seeking the Lord in the scriptures. They're in a tough season in their life, and they're searching the scriptures, and they're finding encouragement in the scriptures. I see strength in them. You know, I see them share, this whole chapter, it really spoke to me this morning. The word of God brings that encouragement more than anything else. I actually had another pastor friend call me last night asking about an area of scripture in the book of Acts, because he knows I've taught it already. And as we were talking, and he's like, well, this person says this, this commentator says that, and I'm sensing this, and I just told him, I said, who must we listen to more, a commentator or the Holy Spirit? We need to listen to the Word of God. We listen to the Holy Spirit. Read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will speak into your life. And that word that he speaks into your life will bring you that encouragement so that you won't be afraid, that you will be, in fact, encouraged. It is only by the word of God that we can be encouraged. And I believe, as we go back to Acts chapter 23, in that verse 11, I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was. He was encouraged by Jesus himself saying into his ear, I'm right here with you, Paul. I'm right here with you. Don't be afraid. I've also said anytime God tells you don't be afraid, it's probably because you are afraid, right? Yeah, you're not going to tell it, well, I'm not really afraid. Yeah, he knows. He knows our fear. But that's the current position we should be in. We should always be of good cheer. We should always be encouraged because God is with us, right? Look at the rest of this verse. Two quick things. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem. So the first thing he goes, be of good cheer right now. Because you've been faithful to do what I called you to do. Chapters 21 and 22 up to chapter 23, Paul has been witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been sharing his testimony of how Jesus got a hold of his life. And this, my friends, is so, so powerful because it was his testimony of his experience that with Jesus that was so important. Your testimony of how God changed your life not only will help someone else, listen, it helps you. When I tell somebody what God has done in my life, hopefully they're encouraged, but guess what? I'm encouraged too because I'm reminded of what God has done in my life, right? As I look back on the past and see God's hand working in my life and protecting me here and healing me there and doing this, I'm so encouraged that God was there. But what happens is if I don't remember that, I tend to forget it, right? And I have to forget to go, oh no, God, what are you going to do? How's it going to? And then I remember what he's done. There's no doubt in my mind that God protected my life for a reason, because he still has work for me to do. And when he protects your life and when he's done things in your life, it's because he has work for you to do. Not one of us is going to leave this earth 1 second before the Lord wants us to go there, pandemic or not, COVID or not. God can use anything to do his will and accomplish his will. So I would say with the time that we have left, and I believe it's getting shorter and shorter as the return of Christ is coming more and more. I believe this whole pandemic was like a, you know, an arrow over the bow. It's like, hey, pay attention. Because I used to always think, how is God going to do this? How is he going to be able to affect the whole world? Wow. I was a doubter. I mean, my wife and I, we were in Colorado skiing when the whole, you know, when the virus first came into the United States, the first case in the United States, and I didn't think anything of it. I said, ah, wow. Look what happened. Look what happened. Our testimony is so important. Acts 1:8, everybody knows, hopefully you know this verse. Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We obviously use this verse, Acts 1:8, of talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how important that baptism, that immersion of the Holy Spirit is upon our lives. The Apostle Paul could not have witnessed or testified to those Jews or to that Sanhedrin without the power of the Holy Spirit, sharing his testimony. May the Holy Spirit come upon us to share the things that God has done in your life to encourage someone else. It is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives power. The Holy Spirit is the one that allows you to be a witness. There's been people in my life that have come up to me and just said, man, you have so encouraged me in my walk with the Lord. And I just look at that and I go, I do. You know, the problem is we know ourselves, right? I know all my flaws. I know all my errors and mistakes. And for anything good to come out of my life and touch the life of another is absolutely the grace of God. And it's just amazing how God uses our lives to touch the lives of another. So you are making a difference. You are making an impact in someone's life. Don't doubt it. You may not know it. You may not hear about it. But I'm telling you, you are. Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Paul shared his testimony in Jerusalem, and that reminded him that God was in control, right? Because God told him, he says, Paul, I'm going to be with you. You're going to go to Jerusalem. Paul, you're going to go to Rome. Even in this scripture, Paul is being told by Jesus, you're going to Rome. So he doesn't have to worry about a thing. Can you imagine that? If God said to you, hey, you're going to Florida next year. Boy, guess what? It's going to happen. Anybody want to go to Florida next year? If God says it, it's going to happen. And so for the Apostle Paul, what an encouragement for him. Just as you testified in Jerusalem, you're also going to testify in Rome. Paul's like, okay, let's go. Many of us in this room want to hear that kind of clarity from the Lord, don't we? Lord, what's it going to be like next year? Lord, what's it? Someone just said to me the other day, how many days to Christmas? I mean, scary things, right? I can't believe we're already at the end of this year. Jamie, you don't have your Christmas trees up yet, do you?
Not yet.
No? Next week, probably. But time is going by so fast, and we want to be encouraged that this next year, that God will do so much amazing things, so many amazing things. Let's make sure we're a church that's ready to take on what the Lord wants to do. I personally have been praying for a revival like nothing ever. As the church restarts, as we start again, I pray a fresh wind, a fresh fire goes through this church. And God uses your life. It is such a blessing to be around you guys again. But boy, now's the time to pull up our bootstraps and let's get busy ministering to each other. I'm thankful that we now have a home, that all of the volunteers in our church don't have to set up and break down everywhere. Where's the... Amen. Yeah, I knew that was coming. Amen. A place that's set up where ministry can take place. Do me this favor, will you? From now on, if God puts something on your heart, come share it with us. Come let us pray with you. If you have prayer requests, we want people to come. We want to pray over you. We want you to be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and make a difference. Because I believe as you're making a difference in someone else's life, your life will be transformed as well. You will find that encouragement. If you're just sitting waiting for God to do something in your life, I say start moving. Put yourself out there. Be like the Apostle Paul. Share your testimony. See what God won't do. That's what we need. And then last, so that was the past. Paul was testifying. He was fulfilling what God told him to do. And with that, let me say this. Even though there was no fruit out of his ministry, there was obedience in his life. Guys, obedience is so important. That we would truly be obedient to the Lord. You need to follow whatever God tells you to do, whatever the Holy Spirit shows you to do, and trust God with the outcome. Right? Trust God with the outcome. Even if it doesn't make any sense. Even if you don't see any fruit from it, just be obedient to God, because that's what I believe Jesus is saying. And then finally, the future. He says, and so you must also bear witness in Rome. This word bear witness means to preach the good news. Do we believe that the message of Jesus is good news? We do. Don't we want to share that with people? Let's not share the good restaurants or the good movies or the good shows that we can watch on Netflix. Let's share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he's coming back. And I've shared it many times. You know, that verse that Jesus says, when the Lord returns, will he really find faith on the earth? That scares me. Because it's like, why did he say that? Why would he ask that? I believe there's only going to be a small remnant of believers when the Lord returns. Let's be a part of that group that is on fire for the Lord and wanting to really press in. Now is not a time to slow down. Now is not a time to relax. Now is a time to press in. A couple weeks ago, not this past week, but the week before, for the first 3 days, I was at a conference in Georgia. And the theme of the conference was, my times are in your hand, out of Psalm 31, verse 15. And we basically thought about our times are in his hands. Try to visualize that. That your future, that your life is seated in the palm of God's hand. That means he's orchestrating. That means he's dictating. That means he's directing your life. Be sensitive to that directing. Let your times be in his hands. There's going to be plenty of time to rejoice in the presence of the Lord when we get to heaven. Let's wear these bodies out serving the Lord. Let's wear ourselves out serving the Lord and being encouraging to one another. And when I say that, I just mean be the Christian that God wants you to be. Don't manifest any super spiritualness in your life to feel like you're effective in the world. Be effective in the place that God has you, right? If you're a mom, be the best mom. If you're a teacher, be a great teacher and pour into those kids. Wherever God has you, I encourage you to blossom in that place. Because the Apostle Paul was just being obedient to the Lord. And he left the results up to God. And if we can leave the results up to God, his result is so much better than ours. Don't you believe that? Lord, please help us to seek his will, seek his word, and be encouraged so that you can encourage someone else, right? And I think for me, the thing that God taught me through this pandemic, and in a minute I'm going to give anybody an opportunity who wants to come forward and share a testimony, but the thing that God spoke to me most was seeing families spend more time together, right? And this has been a crazy 6 months, and it's been scary and uncertain, and certainly no one wants to hear about lives that have been lost. But what about lives that have been impacted? What about lives that have been changed, the children's lives that have been touched? You know, seeing more dads walking with their kids. This road is amazing. There must be a ton of families up and down this road, because there's always families just riding bikes or going for walks. And I gotta believe that this pandemic has allowed more families to be together. You know, I know there's families in this church that loved the fact that they got to spend time with their families, got to spend time with their kids. You know, and now as things begin to open up, Dad, where are you going? Oh, I gotta go to work. Oh, let's cherish these times. Let's cherish these moments that God has given us, and a fresh perspective as we enter into this new season. Let's put our reliance upon the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, let me close in prayer. And if anybody wants to come up and share just what the Lord's been doing in their life, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, even just looking at this one text, how encouraging it must have been for the Apostle Paul to know that you were right there with him. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, that we would know that you are right there with us. Whether we sense it, whether we hear it, Lord, you're with us. You've carried us through this crazy pandemic. You've carried us through and protected us. We pray for those who've been affected by this virus and who have been touched by this virus. We thank you for those that have had it and have recovered. But we pray, God, that you would continue to be faithful to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak clearly your will for each of us. I pray for those in this room that are struggling right now. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's spiritually. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray for those, that you would encourage them, Lord, that you've got this, that you are seated upon the throne, and that Jesus, you are interceding on their behalf, that you have good plans for them, plans to prosper them and to not harm them. So lift them up, Lord. And for those of us, Lord, who feel close to you right now, for those of us, Lord, that feel your close presence and feel that call upon our lives, God, I pray that we would embrace each and every opportunity that you give to us, to share testimony or share a scripture of encouragement. These are the things that we need in the days that we're living in, God. And so I pray that you would bless each and every one that is here this morning, those that are watching over the internet. God, may it be your word that lights the path before us. Until that day you take us home, may we be like Jesus, fulfilling our Father's business. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.